You're listening to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide with Bart Zandbergen, your distinguished host and certified financial planner.
Welcome to the first episode of the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. Wow, guys, we did it, our first episode. I'm so excited. So joining us today in studio is our engineer, Paul.
Yes, Paul. I just want to welcome you all to the show here. Such elaborate lengths we went to get this thing launched today here. And I just want to thank everybody for joining us and look forward to tuning in each and every week here to the Zandberg Report.
Thanks, Paul. And also in studio today, we have Paula Stoyer of Sterling Public Relations. As my publicist and brand strategist, she's joining me today as I discuss my why behind creating the show. Paula, do you mind telling us a few things about yourself?
Sure. First of all, it's such a pleasure to be here in the studio today for the inaugural episode of our show. I'm a big believer in being purpose-driven, always in all ways, which is part of why I love the show. And it's part of why I love what I do, because for me, it's not only about PR marketing, but great PR and marketing is really about putting together the proper strategy for the client and their goals. And in this case, it's been such an honor to put together the right strategy for launching this show. For me, I've had my firm 10 years. It's an integrated PR and marketing firm. And as you know, I've had the pleasure of working with you the last few years and taking your brand to the next level.
Yeah, you sure have.
So, you know, Bart, I know you better than our listeners do. And I'm curious if you can share with us, you know, in the 25 years that you have been in financial planning and wealth strategy, I'm curious to know is why now? Why did you create this show? I know why, but I think it's time we educate our listeners.
All right, Paula. Well, thanks for asking. Well, I first feel that with great blessings comes great responsibilities. So for the last 26 years, I've had a wonderful career. I've helped so many people meet their financial goals and dreams. And I really felt like a show like this is kind of a way to give back and a way to leverage the number of people that I can reach, both with my 26 years of real life experience. And ultimately, I think this will be a real show for real people.
I think so, too. And, you know, day to day working with various media outlets, you know, we have so much media that we consume in so many different ways nowadays. And what I loved about this show concept is, like you said, it's for real people who want real information that's usable, that they can apply today. You know, with that being said, in comparison to other shows that you've listened to, how is this show going to be different besides just being for real people? What can our listeners expect?
Well, I'm going to reemphasize it's a real show for real people, really with real life situations and real advice given by a guy who's lived it. You know, I think the show is created for people who feel they pay too much in taxes, maybe are about to sell a company, are about to retire, maybe about to divorce, or who have received or are going to receive a large payment from either an inheritance, stock option, or a settlement. I also believe that with large amounts of money comes great benefit, but also a burden and great responsibility. And I think the show is going to help people with those type of things.
Well said. You know, and for me, I always really believe it's also important to define what something is not. So we've talked about what this show will be, but what is this show not going to be?
Yeah, that's a good one. So for sure, the show's not going to be anything about gimmicks or slogans. I'm not going to be standing up and yelling, bye, bye, bye. I'm not going to stand up on a soapbox and tout things that don't need touting. And I'm not going to do any absolutes. You know, absolutes like you can only buy stocks, you should only buy bonds, you should only buy life insurance, you should never buy life insurance, et cetera, et cetera. So that's for sure what it's not going to be.
One thing that I've, you know, really loved about you and working with you is when you talk about keeping things real and you talk about this show being for real people, I think that's part of what your clientele and your friends and your family are so attracted to you by is you're a real person. You're real and warm. And I always say at the end of the day, people want to work with people that they like, people they respect, and people who are real and have an ingenuity about them. So it's nice to see that you're bringing this to this vertical and this media outlet.
Well, thank you. Thanks. All right, we're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Imagine Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest. Higher.
When it comes to pioneers in their respective industries, we all know the Apples, Starbucks, and Trader Joe's of the world. In the realm of recruiting, Decision Toolbox is the industry's best-kept secret. With 90% of their business from referrals and repeat customers, for over 20 years, Decision Toolbox's U.S.-based team of recruiters, sourcers, professional writers, quality personnel, and tech support has perfected a Six Sigma approach to talent management. No matter the size of the project, Decision Toolbox delivers incredible results. A cost per hire less than half of what contingency firms charge, with the winning candidate presented in an average of 14 days, all with a 12-month candidate warranty. With results like that, Decision Toolbox won't be a secret for long. Visit us at www.dtoolbox.com for more information.
All right, back to Wealth Strategies and Investment Wisdom on Zandbergen Report.
All right. So before the break, I made the comment that I firmly believe people work with people they like and people they respect. And as a tried and true publicist, I also love the story behind things, right? And so having, worked alongside you for the last few years, I've gotten to know your personal story, how you got into this business. And I'd love for you to share your story with us. I think it's important.
All right. Well, I didn't realize it then, but I actually grew up in a kind of a lower middle class, working class family. My dad was a long distance truck driver. So he worked really hard. I didn't see him very much. But I knew he loved us just by how hard he worked. When he switched from long distance, he took on kind of more of a local route. But he was still gone all the time, 12 to 14 hours a day, often gone before I woke up and back before right after we went to bed. But what I learned from that, from my dad, was just a work ethic. And that's something I've carried with me my entire life. I also learned something about risk. So he had a friend, bought his own truck, had a fancy truck, nice cars, and seemingly a much nicer life than we had. So my dad, I don't know how he did it, somehow bought a truck. And unfortunately, within a couple of years, it failed miserably. He lost the truck and it ended up being a disaster. So that was a life lesson also. And this was about risk. Sometimes with risk comes great reward. And sometimes with risk, it has great failure. So my mom, she was a homemaker. And she did whatever she could to make ends meet. And for her, she became basically a child care or a babysitter. So she raised three kids on her own, plus usually two or three other kids during that time. And as kids, we certainly didn't, we wanted things, or a lot of things we wanted, but we didn't need anything. So what I learned from my mom was the value of living below your means, and no matter how much money you make, to save. And that's also an important lesson.
And also the difference between need and want, which are completely different things. And I think to learn that at such an early age is huge, and just your outlook on life in general.
Yeah. And that lesson became more apparent as my 16th birthday came around. Everybody wants to drive, right, and get their car. So my want was a Porsche.
Of course.
And what I needed was a Volkswagen Bug.
I see.
So, but the story behind that, I think, is relevant in that this 1970 Volkswagen Bug in 1976 was $1,400.
By the way, I've seen pictures of this Bug, and I love that Bug.
I actually do, too. I wish I still had it. Aww. So by 16, I'd already saved $700. My mom had taught me how to save. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what I was going to do or how I was going to do it. And unbeknownst to me, my mom came with a handful of fives and 20s and 10s and loaned me $700 to buy the car, of which I paid her $50 a month till the car was paid off. So even after my mom passed away just a few years ago, and she was in a much different life, and, you know, money was not an issue, but my sister went through her, you know, her stuff, and tucked away in her underwear drawer was over $10,000 of small bills that she continued to squirrel away.
Wow.
So just, you know, a lesson that I've taken through life that and into my career as well.
Well, and what's interesting too, as you said, later in life, you know, she was in a different position where, you know, she probably had access to much more, but she still lived below her means and she still saved.
Yeah.
So she never forgot how important that was.
And that's something she instilled in us and that I still use today.
Mm-hmm.
So something I don't share that often, but another character builder in my childhood was that I actually grew up an overweight, introverted, intellectual, which at that time was like wearing a target on your back for bullies. And, you know, and it was. I was bullied both emotionally and physically. And as you know, kids can be really, really cruel.
So true.
So on top of that, think of your middle school days, how transformational that is.
And how awkward it is for awkward. All of us, right?
Right. So I remember going to school, middle school, everyone, which sure seemed like everyone, wore Levi's jeans or Levi's cords. That was a cool thing. So I got to go to school in JCPenney plain label jeans. And just to make things better, from the Husky section department.
Oh, no. Poor thing.
So even to this day, the word Husky just puts shivers up and down my spine.
So every time I talk about my Siberian Husky, you must hate that.
if you could just stick with Siberian, I'd be so
okay,
much better.
Noted.
All right. Transformational. 1976, a movie came out. It was an underdog, unknown writer, unknown actor. Do you remember what movie that was?
Rocky.
I hate to say this, and it's a little embarrassing, but that movie actually changed my life. It so inspired me to become a better person. It inspired me to get in shape, to lose weight. I spent the good part of the summer reading, learning, using kind of the discipline that was instilled in me to learn about proper nutrition and exercise, etc. 3 months in the summer. So when I went to school, middle school was through ninth grade, and then high school was 10th grade. So I left ninth grade, learned about these things, came back to school. I'd lost 40 pounds. God bless me by growing about 2 inches.
Oh, wow.
I started surfing. So I came back to school with a tan, sun bleached hair. Nobody recognized
me. They're like, who is this guy?
Who is this? So, it was transformational. And the use of kind of discipline that I had learned and grown up with to kind of get me from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. Ultimately too, I was really never the smartest kid in the class, but I got straight A's all through school, and it was through the use of my discipline of studying hard and knowing what I needed to do to get to the next level. So I used the same discipline that I used to get the great grades to help with my fitness program that actually, you know, many, many, many years later, I continue to follow the same, well, a more evolved, but still a health and nutrition plan.
Mm-hmm.
So time goes on. I graduated college, Cal State Fullerton, with a bachelor's degree, and I had a wonderful career in the computer industry. I didn't call it technology back then. It was computer industry. And I was actually had reached a level of success that I obtained my own financial advisor. So I needed some help with my own stuff. And right around the age 30, I just woke up and realized, you know, I had wife, 2 kids, house, but just didn't feel fulfilled. I felt like I needed something. And ultimately, I figured out, I kind of put it together. Like I wanted to help people and I wanted to change lives. So I kind of walked around aimlessly, you know, knowing that I wanted to do something. And my advisor at the time, who became a good friend, he was a very good advisor and was very good about asking about goals and objectives. And I shared with him my idea. And he said to me, you know, why don't you consider a career in financial service or wealth advising? So like all my serious decisions, I think about it for a long time, months. But what's really interesting, and this is very true also, with my biggest decisions in life, this one particular morning, 2 a.m., I woke up, complete clarity. I knew exactly that's what I needed to do. I was going to pursue a career in financial services.
And isn't that so interesting? I mean, you didn't know that that conversation was going to take place. That seed was going to be planted for you to think about. And through that, you found your true calling and your true purpose and true fulfillment.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's 26 years later and still here.
So interesting how life works.
Yeah. So when I decided to share this with, you know, with the people around me, people close to me, they said, so you're going to leave a high paying job with benefits, for a career that has no salary, no benefits. Oh, and by the way, 90% fail rate in the first 3 years. And I said, yeah, that's what I'm doing.
So they thought you were crazy.
Pretty much. So, as I said, that was 26 years ago. This is my 26th year in the business. And I still use the discipline instilled in me as a child to be the best advisor I can be. And I work diligently with my clients and help them to meet their financial goals and dreams. And I've had the privilege of building valuable relationships with my clients that have real meaning and purpose with a difference. And I can only see, but I can actually also measure. You know, along the way, I've used that discipline. I know I've overused that word, but I've obtained my certified financial planning designation, mm-hmm. my certified divorce financial analyst designation. And at the end of the day, I think that the measurement of wealth is more than just money or things. I think it's, in addition to money, wealth is health, it's family, and it's work-life balance. I mean, I think I'm blessed with good health. I have two grown kids, two grandkids, just because life wasn't just calm enough. I have a 2.5-year-old toddler.
She's darling. She is darling.
And I have a beautiful wife that inspires me every day.
Yes.
So I really feel that I've been able to get that work-life balance. But I've also been able to pursue my passions of fitness, as well as not many people know this, but I'm also a certified sommelier based on my love of food and wine. And then more than anything, I get to help others achieve their personal goals and dreams doing what I love to do.
Mm-hmm. And you make a great point. I mean, wealth is so much more than money. Oftentimes, that's what we correlate, but wealth is so much more, and it can mean so many different things to so many different people. And a lot of it has to do with this idea of achieving balance, which I think is a daily fight for all of us, right?
Yeah.
But you know what? It's part of our evolution, and I think how we grow as humans, right, to figure out how we can achieve that.
Right.
And we need
right.
to have the right discipline and the right structure to do so.
Right. I think the holistic point of view to wealth planning is really where it's at. Again, just more than money and things.
Right. That 360-degree perspective and not just looking at something through one lens, but considering, you know, what's going on in someone's personal life, professional life, long-term, what the goals are, what's going on with their kids, so on and so forth. It's multidimensional, which, you know, from working with you, I've certainly learned. You know, again, you've talked about discipline a lot, and I know this is a tough question, but I'm just wondering if you could sum up the role that discipline has played in your life overall.
Mm-hmm.
What is that summation?
It's certainly one of my core values, and part of it, I think I was born. You know, I just think I was wired that way. I mean, my wife thinks I'm sometimes just a nutcase, because if I have something that I'm, you know, it's a goal or a dream or aspiration that, you know, nothing's going to stop me. And ultimately, and this is one of my favorite sayings, and I've shared this with you before. And how do you eat an elephant? It's one bite at a time.
Uh-huh.
So whatever that goal or dream is, you know, I put the discipline in place. Like, it's just, what steps am I going to take? And, you know, it's the same thing I share with my kids, and hopefully they'll remember that someday.
Well, and a lot of times people think something isn't achievable because they just can't wrap their minds around how to go about it. You know, and I know the world of financial planning is so complex, so many regulations and things, and there's just a lot of information to digest. And so it's very helpful to have someone who is relatable and has a holistic view of working with an individual, you know, all ages and walks of life, in order to break that down into digestible pieces.
Yeah.
I know for me, it's a complex topic, and, you know, amen, it's not my industry, but I lean on professionals like you for that.
Yeah.
I handle the other side of things.
So, like, you know, I said earlier, the discipline, I've used that, you know, in all areas of my life, you know, health and fitness. You know, I was the fat kid that was picked on, and, you know, later in life I've entered fitness shows. So I've used that to become healthy, and I've used it in my surfing. My passion for food and wine, I've used my discipline to become a certified sommelier, which I don't know exactly, but I think there's less than 5% of non-industry people obtain that designation. You know, there's a funny side story to that. I studied so hard for that, and this falls under the category of my wife thinking I'm a nutcase. And before our toddler was born. So it was, you know, every night after work, every weekend, and it was right before the test. And the test is all day, and it's three parts. I had all my index cards laid out, and I was studying, and just as go time, right? So just got to get the picture. And everything's spread out. So I have everything spread out on the bed. And my wife walks in, and just little tears running down her face.
Aww.
Like, honey, what's wrong? And she said, she looks at me with complete sincerity. She goes, are you having an affair?
I go, you said yes with wine.
I go, honey, if you mean with these business cards, and I go,
aww,
give me 2 days. So anyway, perhaps I take it a bit too far. But besides that, I mean, I use discipline to be the best father and husband I can be. And of course, it's a driving force in my wealth management. And if we let's take this year, for example. The market started out insanely great. And so what happens? Clients call, people call. The stock market is so great. Shouldn't we have more in stocks? And I say, we got to stick to the program. We got to stay disciplined to the program. Stocks don't go up forever. The last few days, we've had a little bit of another issue, right? The market is not doing so well. It's tanking. So now I'm getting calls. Should we be in stocks? Do we need to get out? Stick to the program. The program works. Got to be disciplined. So it's just a big part, again, not only all parts of my life, but specifically in what we do and how I help my clients.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've talked about a lot of different things, but I'm just curious on a personal note. So while you were going through your sommelier certification, was there just one moment during that process where you went, you know what? I don't know if this is worth it. Was there something that happened where you went, maybe I am crazy. Maybe my wife is right.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's this illness I have. Halfway in, you know, I was so invested that I don't know.
There was no turning back.
I can't turn back. I have to keep going.
I love that.
And I'm around all these people who all day they work in the business. They're servers. They work in hospitality. They're in it all day, and I'm coming in my business suit.
Here you are, round two.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love that. I mean, you talk about not giving up. You're halfway through. You're committed to the process, and in your role as an advisor, it's the same thing.
Exactly.
Regardless of market turmoil, you're still committed to the client and the process.
Right.
It may be tough, but we're going to work through it.
Exactly right.
Which I think is important. I would certainly, find great comfort in that.
Yeah, right.
So during this show, in future episodes, I know that you'll be asking a final thought question to guests that are in my position, although you'll be... you'll be hosting. You won't be co-hosting. And you'll be asking what their ultimate lesson learned is. And there's so many ways I know you could answer that. But I'm curious to know, what is your ultimate lesson learned? You just had to give me one. What is that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm going to go with there are no absolutes. Never say never. Never say always. And I think that applies not only to finances, to investing, any type of investing, but I just think it applies to life in general.
Well, it's been such a pleasure joining you here in the studio today. Thank you for having me. I loved wearing the co-host hat. And I hope that all of our guests have enjoyed getting to know you personally a little bit and a little bit about your brand. And I am so excited to see how this show unfolds. I know that it'll bring so much value to your audience. And again, I just appreciate the opportunity to be here today for the first show.
Paula, thank you. I couldn't have done this without you. Appreciate your help. Paul, thank you.
You know, there is a tradition I have to make you both aware of, that whoever is the first guest gets to come back after the first year. So you've already booked yourself in for another gig here a year from today.
Oh, boy.
All
okay.
Right. We're in.
I'm in.
So, Paula, thank you for joining me in the studio today. And for those of you who would like to learn more about Paula's firm, Sterling Public Relations, make sure you visit sterlingpublicrelations.com. And it's hard to believe, but our first show has come to an end. Thank you so much, everyone who has tuned in, and we look forward to being back in the studio. Cheers.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting www.bartzandbergen.com. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer on the Zandbergen Report? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com.
Zandbergen Report is a production of OC Talk Radio and is provided for educational purposes only. The content of this program and the views of the guests should not be considered as recommendations by OC Talk Radio or investment advice from the host, Bart Zandbergen, or any other entity attached to this production. Investors should always consult qualified financial, investment, tax, or legal professionals prior to investing.